God with us. Time with us. So we get this phone call, and we answer the phone. All of a sudden, there they are. And all of a sudden, there we are in front of them. They love to FaceTime. They love to see our faces, and we love to see theirs. What a wonderful advantage of the technology that we have. However, the wonderful gift of this technology in FaceTime is still not like it's going to be in a couple of weeks when they are with us. You know, it's a little hard to hug a phone. It's a little hard to feel that warmth and that impulse that comes in the presence of another person. As we think about the history of Israel, and we think about how God evidenced himself with the nation Israel throughout their history, you know, there are numbers of ways and places where we remember that that happened. I think of their escape from slavery, and God was with them in the fire by day, or in the fire by night, and the cloud by day. That was God's presence that was with them and led them as they escaped out of slavery and moved through the wilderness. For Moses, initial experience with God's presence, it was in the burning bush. And I can't imagine this, but God spoke out of that burning bush. God was there with Moses as he experienced him in the burning bush. Again, Moses, when he went up the mountain and got the tablets of stone, if you remember, God's presence was there. And it was something that was just overpowering and special that Moses was in the presence of God and God was there with him. For Abraham, it was God's presence when he went on the mountain with his son Isaac to sacrifice him as God had told him he should do. And then God said, no, it's okay. Look over there in the bush. There's a ram there. And so God's presence came to Abraham and Isaac in that moment with that ram to come and be that fulfillment. Or I think of Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not kneel down to the idol that was built in honor of the king. They would not worship. They would not bow down. And because of what the king said, he said that anybody who wouldn't bow down is going to be killed in this fiery furnace. But he loved Daniel, but he had already made his declaration. So they took Daniel and his friends and they threw them in the fiery furnace. And we remember what happened. Remember that they looked in and they saw more people in there than they had put in. And indeed, God's presence, God was with them in that fiery furnace to the extent that they walked out of that fiery furnace and their hair wasn't even singed. I know my hair gets singed when I go to grill and the fire jumps up and the back of my hand, I just lost my hair and it stinks. God's presence has been revealed in many, many times and places throughout history. And then we come to Isaiah and the prophecy of Isaiah, in which Isaiah says that Emmanuel is coming, God with us. And we come to the birth of Jesus. Now, number of scriptures, particularly out of the Gospels, that relate to the coming of Jesus. First, I want to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." The angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Hey, Mary, guess what's going to happen? You're going to become pregnant and give birth, and you are to call his name Jesus." Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. There was no taking of someone else's gift and putting it in her. God put it in her. God placed in her this child himself for Mary to carry and for this child to be born. Scripture says in Matthew 1:22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us." Now, Simeon understood the reality of who this child is. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2 and verses 25 to 32. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 32. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel.'" Simeon had been promised by God that he would see the Messiah. Simeon was an old man who served in the temple courts. And Simeon was waiting. And so when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to do the ceremony that was required, Simeon knew who this was. Simeon knew that this is God with us. And Simeon took the child and lifted him up and worshiped and celebrated and rejoiced and said, "Thank you for allowing me to see the consolation of Israel. Thank you for allowing me to see your presence here as you have come." God with us. Simeon understood and knew. Now I go to John. John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 11. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works that you have seen. God with us. There are some people who claim that Jesus was just a man. It's not true. Jesus was God. For the disciples, they wondered about that as well. And Jesus says, don't you realize that the Father and I are one? That God the Father and I are one and the same? Margaret just shared with me a message that was talking about this reality in terms of some of the contemporary Christian music that is being played. And the group and the persons who are writing this music and playing it and singing it. And something that neither of us were aware of is the fact that this group of people who are writing these contemporary Christian songs are a group of people who don't believe that Jesus was God. They believe that Jesus was just a man. And so this piece that we were watching on YouTube, this message that we were listening to, was asking the question, should we really sing those songs of people who proclaim that Jesus is not God? Emmanuel, God with us. See, Jesus in this context and setting with the disciples wanted them to know that, yes, I am here with you now, but I'm not just a man. The Father and I are one. I am God in presence with you. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. And Jesus was with them. Today, you and I have a bit of an advantage, supposedly, beyond people who actually lived and walked during the time of Jesus, who wondered who this man was and wondered at the reality of whether or not, if in fact he was God. We have the advantage of history. We have the advantage of remembering and seeing and knowing that Jesus was crucified and it did not end there, but that Jesus was resurrected. And it was in the resurrection that then the disciples came to see and understand. The lights came on. They now understood and knew that this Jesus whom they had been walking with, who was a wonderful teacher and a good man, was more than just a good man, but in fact was God himself. By faith, you and I have the advantage of time and history to understand the reality and truth about who Jesus is. Now, a question. Do we understand that God is still with us? Do we understand the reality that God is with us now? I want to read from John 14 again in verses 15 through 18. Jesus continues to teach his disciples, and this is what he is saying. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. God with us. Do you struggle sometimes like the disciples struggled to understand the reality that God is with us? Do we really understand the reality that the Holy Spirit is God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to abandon you. The Holy Spirit is coming to be with you and in you. We sometimes struggle when we don't see and feel in quite the same ways that we do when we're together. Emmanuel, God with us. This is true today as it was for the 33 years that Jesus walked this earth. What difference does this truth really make in our lives and our living? Number one, I think it's the difference between FaceTime and presence. There's a deeper sense of God's love and care for me. When someone makes the effort to be with me, there's a different understanding of their love for me. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. When we understand the reality of the truth that the Holy Spirit is in us and with us, there's a different sense of God's love, the depth of God's care for us, the reality of his presence with us. Second thing, I think it's the difference between a physical hug and an emoji. We get emojis from our kids and grandkids all the time. You know, and what they're saying is, we love you, Grandpa and Grandma. Pam's our resident hugger. The physical touch means so much more than an email or text or phone call or even FaceTime. That physical touch means something special. One of the practices of my personal relationship with Jesus is something that I've really begun to embrace, I guess I would say, since my experience with the severe anxiety that I had that I needed to deal with. And during that time when I was struggling with and trying to get hold of in new ways the presence of God with me, one of the things that I encountered or crossed my path was the encouragement to think about the times when there were experiences in my life when in my body I actually felt God's presence. Those times when, you know, I got the chills, when there was this physical reality that happened when God revealed himself, when God hugged me in special ways. And so in my own personal growth and reality of relationship with Jesus Christ, that's one of the things that I am doing more and more, is embracing those moments and remembering those moments when I experience God's presence in a physical way, when I experience that hug from God that comes because the Holy Spirit is in me and with me. God is in me and with me. You know, our churches, the Brethren in Christ, have not made a big deal of the Holy Spirit's presence that is sometimes revealed in the speaking in tongues and other kinds of ways. That's not been something that we have pushed. It's not been something that we have preached a lot. And it may be something that has limited our own experience with the presence of God in our lives. And for me, I think this embracing of the feeling of God's presence is something that for me is a new reality of my own faith and my own experience with God. I want to encourage each of you not to be afraid of that. And when it comes to celebrate it, say, thank you, Lord, for those moments and those times. I think this reality of God with us, there's a difference between online education and the classroom. All right? The difference between online education and the classroom. It's a little like the difference between preaching and Sunday school class. Okay? Now, you know, I've got to be careful because this is kind of my thing. But guess what? The Sunday school class is much more intimate. It is much more a time of relational sharing than this setting. Just saying. I still want my paycheck. I'm still going to keep preaching. But you understand what I'm saying, right? This God with us, this relational opportunity to interact, is something that God has for us and wants for us, God's presence with us. Or the difference between a virtual counselor and being in the very presence of a counselor. Now, when I was going through my anxiety, you know, it was horrible. And my one daughter suggested that, Dad, maybe you should do some counseling. I started feeling better, and I thought, ah, I don't need that. Then I thought, yeah, that's something I need. So we started looking to find a counselor that, you know, I might go to or might work with. And we discovered that there's a counselor in Salina, but a counselor in Salina who our insurance would pay for, but it was virtual. And Margaret and I talked, and I said, you know, I don't want a virtual counseling session. So we found a counselor in Manhattan, a Christian counselor, who I could go to, but we had to pay. We had to drive there 45 minutes, and we had to give them our credit card. We had to pay. But guess what? It was worth it. Because again, this reality of presence, this reality of my bodily being in the presence of a person who I was talking to, who was going to try to help me, was important for me. God said, I'm going to come. I'm going to be with you. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you and in you. Folks, this is huge. This message today is huge for us. Emmanuel, God with us. God is all about relationships. God is all about being with. It is in God's presence, God with me, that I find solace. I find comfort. I find understanding. I find a depth of love that I need. Our God is all about relationship. God came to this earth. God came to this earth to be with us. God came to this earth to be with me because He loves me. God came to this earth to be with me because He loves me and wants me to know and feel His love for me. Emmanuel, God with us. Folks, God is God. Jesus Christ was not just a man who came here to live among us and be with us. Jesus was God. Jesus didn't go back to be with the Father and leave us alone. He sent his Spirit here to be with us and not leave us as orphans. God loves me. God wants me to love him back. I have the advantage of standing here when I'm preaching and watching all of you. And you're constantly communicating your thoughts and your feelings to me as you're there watching me. But guess what? All of you out there, you're looking at the back of people's heads. There's not much relationship in that. But we're the body of Christ. We're the church. God gives us each other to be with each other. We need that. I need that. You need that. We all need that to be with. We're reminded today in this Advent season that God is here with us. And we love him. We need to worship him. We need to give thanks. And we need to love on each other. Pam, keep hugging us. You back there? Yeah, thumbs up. All right. Don't be afraid to give a hug or receive a hug. Don't be afraid. But rejoice and allow it to be a healing touch of God that comes. We're going to close today with a chorus or a song that Margaret couldn't find in any of our hymnals, but it's one that we have all heard many times. Go and tell it on the mountain. Stand with me as we sing.